In God We Trust, a 40th anniversary celebration of the American Family Association, highlighting 40 years of ministry inspired by God.
God doesn't require us to be successful. God requires us to be faithful.
For 40 years, the American Family Association has been impacting America with family values. I cannot imagine what America would look like if that voice of truth and reason was not here.
As far as our budget, the way we run a budget is you spend less than you take in.
MCA and Universal has said that they are releasing a movie. They're doing more than that. They're unleashing a movement.
Yeah.
I met Don back in 1983. He stood up for righteousness, and I drew my own confidence from him.
Well, the broadcasters saw what we were doing. We're basically responsible for probably another 350 or 400 Christian stations being on the air that aren't affiliated with us.
In God We Trust, a 40th anniversary celebration of the American Family Association. Now, here's John Riley.
The American Family Association is celebrating 40 years of informing, equipping, and activating individuals to be salt and light in a culture that has drifted far from its biblical roots. Millions of people have been impacted by this ministry over the last 40 years, including me. In 1985, I was working at a Christian radio station in a small town when I became aware that Don Wildman decided to confront the Southland Corporation. That was the home base of over 7,000 convenience stores across the nation, and at the time, they were one of the largest retailers of pornographic magazines. The American Family Association, known back then as the National Federation for Decency, decided to launch a boycott against the 7-Eleven stores. When I heard about that, Don Wildman's boldness inspired me so much that I decided I could make a difference. I found out that even in my small town, there were several convenience stores selling pornographic magazines. I had no idea where to begin. I decided to contact the American Family Association. The ministry sent me a lot of great information and gave me a lot of guidance. As a result, I launched a campaign of my own to remove the magazines in the local convenience stores where I lived. Several months later, not only were the magazines gone, an anti-pornography ordinance was passed by the city council. Don Wildman's boldness for the Lord has resulted in millions of Americans making a difference.
I remember when I was going to school at Mississippi State University, and I came home one evening and I turned on CNN, and I don't typically watch the television program Moneyline with Lou Dobbs, but he began to give a report about how that day the 7-Eleven company had taken the pornography off all 4,500 of their stores. I was finding out that day what a great impact nationally the work of my dad and American Family Association was having on America. That was one exciting memory.
Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, joins us now on this 40th anniversary radio special. Tim, this ministry has been impacting this nation for 40 years, and it all started back in 1976. Your dad, Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Association, was a young preacher at the time. He was in the living room with you and the rest of the family. You guys were just wanting to relax and, you know, find a program on television that, you know, would be good for the whole family. Take us back to what you remember on that moment and then how this ministry began.
Well, I don't know if I remember that moment in particular, John. I was 13 at the time, 1976. We were living in South Haven, Mississippi, which is a suburb of Memphis. And my dad was pastoring the First United Methodist Church there. And we had just moved there from Tupelo. We had been in Tupelo for 8 years. And so, as Dad describes it, we were watching television as a family. And of course, back in those days, many of us remember we didn't have 1,027 channels to choose from, okay? Life was much simpler. We had three in PBS, right? So as Dad describes it, we began to watch TV as a family.
And one network had pretty explicit sex, immoral sex. We changed the channel, and we had some pretty hard profanity on, and we changed the channel again. And we were and got involved in a pretty good program. It had a pretty good moral point to it, but without warning, the scene changed, and one man was clubbing another one with a hammer. And I asked the children to turn the set off.
And it was really that night, I think that was when God began to burden his heart. What he had seen on TV that night was really representative of a broader moral decay going on in our country. It was reflective of a value shift, if you will. So the small thing that happened was that night watching the television, the larger thing that happened was that Dad's eyes were opened to what was going on in the culture. And then 6 months later, he decided to leave the pastorate and form a brand new ministry, at that time called the National Federation for Decency, later called the American Family Association, in response to the moral decay that he saw going on and the attack on Christian values. And so he began to give leadership inside the Christian community on various issues. He asked our congregation to turn off the television for a week. I think it was in June or July.
Turn the television off week was a unique action, never been tried before. And I knew it would grab the attention of the media. It's all the background for good media story, good media play. You know, here's this small town preacher, thinks he's going to do something affecting television, you know. I played Dom a lot of time, which came natural for me. But if your opposition thinks that that you're Dom or Dom-er, then that puts you at an advantage. So I played the role for a while. The media gave me a good bit of publicity for a while until it became evident that, hey, he just may be able to pull this thing off or do something. And when that became evident, then the media backed off, and instead of playing the game of David and Goliath, then they began the attack game, which has been going on ever since.
The second thing he did was he began to have this idea of tracking or monitoring what advertisers, what corporations were the leading offenders, if you will, of sponsoring the most sex violence and profanity on television, and got a lot of attention nationally. Sears and a few other companies I'm thinking about were either they were responsive or they weren't, and when they weren't, they didn't want to be on the little Southern redneck preacher's bad list.
Right.
You know, he focused a lot on building relationships with Christian leaders from all kind of different denominations and backgrounds. I remember, and he put together a group called Christian Leaders for Responsible Television, or they called themselves CLEAR at the time. And what he would do, he had a unique ability to bring together people of all stripes, all denominations. I remember we had a couple of Catholic cardinals who supported us. You had Episcopalian leaders at the time. Then you had the United Methodist. Of course, Dad was United Methodist. And Southern Baptist, Pentecostals, Charismatics. I mean, the gamut. So it was a great group that he had put together to take a stand. We had a general consensus back in those days, even in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, about the Judeo-Christian worldview, moral value system, if you will. So, you know, denominations may have their differences about practical things they do inside the church or theological differences on doctrinal issues, but as far as morals go, everybody agreed.
Thank you so much, Tim, for hanging out with us today.
Sure. Glad to help, John.
Tim Weilman, president of American Family Association, will be with us again later in the program here on American Family Radio.
You're listening to In God We Trust, a 40th anniversary celebration of the American Family Association.
Look at what Jesus told us. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. It's not that we're trying to be troublemakers just for the purpose of being troublemakers. No. We're trying to be faithful.
Larry Durham joined the American Family Association as one of the first employees in 1979 and is now retired. Also joining us is Randall Murphy, who has been with the American Family Association since 1983 as the seventh employee. Now, both of you guys have seen so much over the course of the last 40 years. We wanted to give you an opportunity to share some stories from the past that kind of stand out from your time of ministry here.
Thank you, John. And Randall, good to be with you. I started work for, at that time, National Federation for Decency in 1979. And those early years, especially those early months, were really tough. I saw it firsthand. I remember Don would come to work on a moped because that's a way to save money and didn't have the money. And every penny that was taken in through those donations went right back into the organization. I think after 6 months I'd been there, we traveled a good bit. I went with Don. We would go leave on a Monday morning, come back on a Friday. And during that time, we might visit 6 or 7 or 8 states. And what we were doing is he had come up with this plan to monitor television. We had volunteers all across the country. But I remember one night, we left one of these meetings, and we somewhere up in the hills of Tennessee. But I can remember around 10 o'clock, we left, and we started driving to the next site. And Don, we came to this little small town, and there was this big parking lot there. Don said, "You want to just pull over here and sleep in the car tonight?" And I said, "Sure." So that was our motel for the night. I slept in the front seat. He slept in the back seat. Got up the next morning real early, headed on to our next destination. I mean, it was not uncommon to, when you get through one of those meetings, when we left, we didn't go to a fine restaurant. We would just go and get a Coke and a Snickers bar and keep on going. So it was very, very trying during that time, especially for Don. But he was every cent that came in through those donations went back into the ministry. God called him to do it. He did not complain about it. I remember one particular time, I've been there a couple of 3 months, the donation were not coming in well enough to pay for the bills. And we lacked a certain amount. It was a small amount. It wasn't a large amount. And we prayed about it. That check came in for that exact amount. I knew then God was in this ministry.
You know, I'm glad I came on a little bit later because I never did have to travel with Don and sleep in the car. But when I arrived here as a seventh member on the staff, it just didn't take long to realize that Don Wildman was driven to try to fulfill the calling that he knew God had placed on his life. One example of that early on for me was at the end of the day, work day every day, Don would be one of the ones, well, he would be the one who'd go through the building and turn out lights, turn off the lights, check thermostats to make sure they weren't left too high or too low. But also, he'd walk through the building, and if somebody's in an office working at 5 or 10 minutes after 5, he wanted to know what they were doing and why they were there that late, because it was time to go home and be with their families. But day to day, he wanted people to come in at 8, go to work till 5, and go home. And I always admired that and appreciated that about Don.
Larry Durham and Randall Murphy joining us today on this 40th anniversary special for the American Family Association. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. It's good to remember those days.
You're listening to In God We Trust, a 40th anniversary celebration of the American Family Association.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah with Turning Point. I hope you'll join me in congratulating my friends as they celebrate their 40th year of ministry. May God continue to be their strength and shield and give them many more years of building up believers and giving aid to the church around the world.
I'm with Sandy Rios, American Family Association Governmental Affairs Director in Washington, D.C. You hear her each weekday on her program, Sandy Rios in the Morning, on American Family Radio talk stations. Sandy's one-hour show is power-packed each morning with the important news of the day. Sandy, about 10 years ago, you met the founder of the American Family Association, Don Wildman, at a meeting in our nation's capital. How did that meeting impact you?
Well, in ways I would never have guessed, John. I have to say, when I was still at home with my parents, I remember seeing that Mississippi preacher fighting obscenity on television. I remember that he was always a firebrand, and it impressed me. But how could I possibly known that I would grow up and be called to be president of Concerned Women for America, that I would move to Washington, D.C., and in my capacity as president of CWA, I would meet Don Weidelman, the president of the American Family Association. But I did, and so suddenly I'm transported from kid watching television, admiring, to peer, which is always odd to me. And so we began to work together, along with Dr. Dobson and other leaders in the family movement, on what were at that time crucial issues. Don was always a leader. He was just a natural leader. And so we thought that it would be a good thing if we formed a group that would coalesce the leaders of these family organizations and that we would work together on the issues that we were facing. And I'll never forget the initial stages there. We all met around the table. There were only about six or seven people. And we put together kind of a template of what we wanted to accomplish. And would you believe that within the next few weeks, the Lawrence v. Texas decision had been decided, and it was opening the floodgates, everyone knew, to gay marriage. That was stunning. We did not see that coming. And so the Arlington Group is what we called ourselves. We met immediately to try to brainstorm. We had no idea when we started this group that it was going to focus on stopping gay marriage. We didn't know. That was just one issue. But that was thrust into the forefront. And so Don really chaired the meeting, and I kind of helped organize. We started working on doing everything we could to stop that. There's a lot to say about that. Let me just say it was a very intense battle. I spent a lot of my own personal sweat and blood over that issue with Don Weidelman shoulder to shoulder. We had maybe a view of it that was a little bit more strict than some others, and it became a battle. And I will never forget how Don was able to strike that balance between being such a principled leader in the movement and trying to woo and win others to what we felt was the biblical position on that issue. I was impressed with him then. I loved working with him. And I still miss working with Don Weidelman. So that's how it started.
Sandy, that is a beautiful story about how you met Don Weidelman and the impact that he's had on your ministry, and not just your ministry, but the ministries of many, many others across the country and our nation. And right now, when we look around, we see this moral, spiritual, and political chaos to the very foundations of our nation crumbling. Why is it important to have the AFA at this point in America's history?
You know, I think the American Family Association, along with AFR Talk, has taken on a role perhaps that even Don Weidelman never anticipated. I actually think that we are probably more crucial to the future of this country than the folks that slug away back in Tupelo and those of us that slug away in Washington even know. And the reason I say this is because the family movement has lost a lot of its steam. A lot of leadership has gotten older and moved on, and there has been a vacuum. And as I look out, I see without question that American Family Radio is the gold standard. It is true north in terms of the issues that we're facing in this country, in terms of assessing and evaluating what's going on politically. It has become, I think, the premier place to go to find out what's really true and what isn't. And then also, of course, bringing God's word without compromise to each of those issues. I have to say that, you know, I work for Tim Weidelman now, Don's son. And one thing that Tim inherited from his father was that courage of conviction. I love that about Tim Weidelman. Let's just say others have noted that I take a really strong position on things. Jesus changed my life. I love him passionately, and I just don't ever want to err from what I believe is true as taught in Scripture. There's just no wiggle room. And sometimes that's gotten me into trouble, I have to tell you. But never once in the years that I have worked for Tim Weidelman has he ever asked me to back off of what we both agree is truth. He's never asked me to take it easy or to color it in any way. Never. And I always know that American Family Association under Tim Weidelman's leadership will take the straight and narrow way. They just will. And I asked that God would bless him for that and continue and to give him courage and strength as we probably lift more of what's going on in the country than we probably ever anticipated. I pray that God will give him strength and courage and protect his family. And it's a privilege and a pleasure to work for the American Family Association.
That's Sandy Rios, American Family Association Governmental Affairs Director in Washington, D.C. And, of course, you hear her program, Sandy Rios in the Morning, on American Family Radio talk stations. Sandy, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
You're listening to In God We Trust, a 40th anniversary celebration of the American Family Association.
Even from the beginning there in 1983, we cooperated often in the struggle to get TV advertisers to stop paying the bills for violence and filth on television programs. And it was really fun kind of joining with him as troublemakers, you know.
Tim Weilman, President of American Family Association, and Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano join us. You know, we're taking a moment to reflect on 40 years of God using the ministry of American Family Association to inform, equip, and motivate believers to be salt and light in our culture. I want to give you an opportunity to share where we are now and what's ahead for the American Family Association.
40 years, wow, it's hard to believe. We've been around 40 years, but there's so many people that played a part in our ministry over the years. The board members, who people listening don't even know their names. But these are it's really a mix of businessmen and clergy. That's kind of 50-50. That's kind of the way we'd like our board to be. So, you know, the radio network sprung up in 1991. And today we have 184 stations or whatever. So that really gave us a national visibility in the Christian community that we didn't have. A lot of what we had was direct mail and our AFA journal, which was good. But the radio took us to a new level of influence in our country. So where we are today, we want to continue to use that radio network and to reach out to Christians and to be a galvanizing voice for righteousness. And also, we want to continue to have an influence on social media through Facebook, through emails, through our videos that we produce and do.
And, you know, Tim, just in thinking about what you're saying, what's interesting is that, you know, our country is going through some tectonic shifts. I mean, there are huge things that are changing in our country. And I think back to over the 40 years, and I've been here just 21, but the supporters of AFA, the people who read the journal, who wrote checks when they got their letter, who began to listen to AFR, that, you know, those kinds of things. These are folks who've been with us this whole time. They saw what your dad saw 40 years ago. I mean, we're looking at the shifts that are occurring in our culture now that your dad saw these shifts coming in terms of the weakening of the church and people maybe abandoning some core Christian beliefs, the fact that homosexuality was a real threat to religious liberty and the Judeo-Christian foundations, all these kinds of things we've talked about, pro-life. What government does, Hollywood. But I also see, along with the shifts, greater numbers of Christians who are just now catching on. And many people have called your dad a prophet. And whatever you think about that title, I don't. Your dad never called himself a prophet.
He doesn't wear a robe. But
he doesn't. That's
yeah,
right. But he saw these things. And it's just the way human nature is. Christians are catching up to that. Christians are now seeing that what your dad said and what AFA's been saying for 40 years was true. And faithfulness has always been a part of your dad's, that was his core principle. God has not called us to be successful, but faithful. And people now say, you guys have been saying that for 40 years. Now I finally see it. How do I get on board? And right. I think going forward, that is going to be something that will continue to drive us, continue to keep us wanting to be faithful, because greater numbers of people are looking to AFA, looking to American Family Radio, and saying, tell us what is happening from a Christian perspective and what can we do?
Ed, our nation has drifted so far from our biblical roots. I mean, we see the moral decay, the spiritual decay everywhere that we look. And a lot of people would say, you know, it's just too late to turn things around. How would you respond to that discouraging outlook?
Well, I think I heard a preacher one time say, it wasn't me, this is a smart preacher, said despair is a sin. Despair and discouragement, in a sense, is a sin if it causes the Christian to forget about God. If we forget God because of what we're seeing around, that's sinful. It's sinful because the Bible makes clear that God rules over the affairs of men, and He rules over nations. And for us to say, well, it's too late to turn things around, therefore I'm quitting, I'm going to go buy a cabin somewhere and just try to live out the storm that's coming, that's not what we're called to be. We are called, in whatever the circumstances we find ourselves, we are called to believe in God and to believe that faithfulness to God might not change the circumstances, but we can't change the circumstances without it. And so I would encourage Christians to remember that God really is in control. This is not a trite phrase we use to pep ourselves up. Also, Christians are called to intercede. We are called to pray for revival. We are called to cry out to God for our land. We're called to repent of our own sins. We are called to turn from our wicked ways and to cry out to God in the hopes that God might have mercy on our nation. And we are called to act. Who knows if the tide will turn? Our culture changed over the last 40 or 50 years. It changed pretty slowly. What's to say it can't change slowly in the other direction? So we're called to act because this thing could all turn around overnight, should God will it, or it might take another generation. And as I've said, and as Brother Don has said, we are not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. When I stand before God, I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because when I came for you, I found you doing the things you were called to do. And I think that that is something that Christians need to remember, because that's the story of the Bible. That's part one of the stories of the Bible, is God's people being willing to shine like stars in the firmament and shine in the darkness.
Tim and Ed, thank you so much for joining us today on this 40th anniversary special.
Thrilled to be here, John.
Thank you, John.
In God We Trust, a 40th anniversary celebration of the American Family Association. Thanks to the thousands who have come alongside us over the years as we have stood for righteousness in our nation. We praise God for His never-ending faithfulness. By His grace, may we continue to bring positive change by informing, equipping, and motivating until Jesus returns.
God bless these people. Give them the motivation. Give them the tools to open the door to what they can do in being faithful to that to which you've called them. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.